Okay, real talk. We all have embarrassing moments in the bedroom. You know, like gas, bloating, indigestion, and more. And I hear from so many of you with stomach issues, and it's keeping you from the pleasure you so rightly deserve. Well, I got some great news. While studies show that gut issues directly impact our arousal, erections, and overall sexual health, I got a game changer for your overall wellness. Introducing Just Thrive Probiotic. It is my secret weapon for overall health and the fuel for my sex life. Just Thrive Probiotic isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is a clinically proven game changer, a gut superhero designed to up-level your passion and sex life. So no more embarrassing moments, only a life of gut-powered ecstasy. That sounds good, right? It's the first probiotic formulated with four ancestral survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. This probiotic is like your personal gut gardener, maintaining the health of your gut by eliminating bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and replenishing the good, making it a game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, and even your mood. With Just Thrive, you'll nourish your gut microbiome, fueling your mind, body, and soul. So say hello to increased libido, enhanced pleasure, and a whole new level of satisfaction. Oh, don't miss my episode, Why Gut Health is Sexy with Tina Anderson, where you can learn more about this groundbreaking company. For a limited time, you can try Just Thrive 100% risk-free by visiting justthrivehealth.com and enter promo code SEXWITHEMILY at checkout to save 20% off on a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive probiotic. So take charge of your gut health, take charge of your sex life, and live your healthiest life yet with Just Thrive.
We've all gone through a lot, and some people a lot more than others, and you see this in charts too. But the way I look at it is every bit of our pain is an opportunity for growth. Every bit of our pleasure is an opportunity for growth. And if we stay in a narrative in which we're losers and victims, then that's the life we live. But the people I've known, and I've known people with great adversity, who think of everything as a potential gift. Life doesn't happen to us, it happens for us. When they think of it like that, people can make anything out of a pile of crap. They can make magic out of it, but it's how you see it. Is this my landing pad or is this my launch pad? And the way I encourage people and see them is use your story to become everything you want to be instead of staying in the past and regressing to what other people thought of you or acted toward you.
Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm joined by psychological astrologer, Dr. Jennifer Fried, and we're bringing you part two of your birth chart readings to help guide you on your sex and relationship journey. If you like this show, please let us know and we can have more call-in shows like this. Email feedback@sexwithemily.com or leave us a comment on iTunes or wherever you listen to the show. If you missed part one, go listen to Birth Chart Breakdowns and Sexual Journeys with Dr. Jen Fried. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got to
have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
You know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. You're going to love our site. If you haven't seen it yet, check it out for all the great information there. And find me on all social media. It's @sexwithemily across the board. And if you didn't listen to part one, no worries at all. But let me tell you about Dr. Jennifer Fried. She's an internationally certified astrologer and a psychotherapist, which is very interesting. Great combo. Because she did a reading on me only using my chart, having never met me, and it was spot on. I can't stop thinking about it and just how accurate she was. She's been teaching and practicing psychological astrology for 30 years. She's an amazing woman. She's creating so many different programs for people of all ages, from her sexual wisdom workbook for teens. She works with Goop. She works with a lot of people. She's just well-known, and she is the real deal. Basically, she wants everyone to have the tools to reach their full potential. All right, guys, enjoy the show. Hey, Brian. Welcome to the show. It's Emily.
Hey, Emily. How you doing?
Hi, I'm really good. I am really excited for you to talk to Dr. Jennifer Fried. So I'm going to pass it over to her.
Brian, okay. What a darling human being that you called into the show. So what is one question I can aim my reading at? What do you want to know?
Will I ever have a love life?
Will you ever have a love life? Have you ever had a love life? Have you ever been with anyone?
No, not really.
Okay. So you got to start from square one, which is bravest call ever to call in. Mm, so all the women here love you right now. Mm-hmm. So you got to feel that love, because it always starts from taking in the love that's available to create the next opportunity. So I want you to know there's four women in this room that have just applauded you majorly for calling in and saying, I haven't had the love life that I've wanted. So tell us in your own words, because then I can be more effective. What do you think's the biggest stumbling block for you? Is it your shyness? Is it that you don't reach out? What is it?
Probably that I don't reach out.
You don't reach out. Okay.
Right.
So you are a very noble and good man. Like your chart, your sun in Gemini with Venus in Gemini. You have Aquarius rising, which means you're very altruistic and generous, and you're a good friend. You know, where this is all coming from, this reticence to reach out, is according to your chart, you had some very early young wounding at being not cared for and loved the way you deserve. And that's a deep wound. And Emily and I have discussed this. We've both had to do a lot of therapy around early wounds, and it actually helps. So I don't know if you've tried that route yet, Brian, but I would say to you, you do need professional assistance to undo those old wounds. Because looking at your chart, there's nothing inherently wrong with you that would make you unlovable. You're a deeply caring man. You have Mars and Mercury in Cancer, which is if you got somebody, you would take such good care of them. You would take such good care of them. They would be so lucky to have you. But you right now are suffering from all that old shame and that rejection script. And so you need help to undo that. The beginning is this call. Getting the help you need, there's no shame in that. And then honestly, get online. Get online, do the dating apps, and take a risk. Just coffee, you know? And you could be rejected 30 times. An advice I gave to a close young friend of mine that was having a lot of trouble getting with somebody, I said, go on 30 dates, then talk to me. Go on 30 dates and do them week after week after week. You've got to practice, and you're very shy. Just practice.
It's a practice, and it might be awkward the first 10. How does that sound, Brian? Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I can see where the early wounding thing could maybe play out.
I mean, we all have that. I mean, I think a lot of us have more than others. So have you ever looked into any spiritual work or personal therapy work?
I keep a journal all the time.
Okay.
Back when I was in, like, started, like, senior high school and all through college.
Right. Okay.
But I never really, like, you know, went... Never saw a professional help break out
of
that.
You got to. I'm telling you, therapy has been the most transfer. I wouldn't be here today where I was if I have not had some deep therapy work. And so you could probably find somebody in your healthcare network. I know for a lot of people it's a stumbling block just getting the therapist, but I'm sure that you can find someone there, and that would be such a great first step. And then also practicing. Like, do you have a friend group where you're at?
It's a loose friend group.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe it might be good kind of strengthening some of the friends, not the pressure of dating right now, but kind of making that extra effort with the friends who you know who love you, who you feel safe with, even if it's one. I think we all even have that one. And maybe instead of just going over to their house or they come to your house, you do something different. You're like, you know what? It's summer. We haven't been out. Let's go to this festival in the park today. Like, take little risks like that. Because when we keep doing the same thing over and over again, right, you know, you've heard this, we get the same results.
Right.
So I'm wondering if there's little things you could do that would kind of get you out of this. Because I do think this was a very brave call for you, and we're all feeling this for you. So we want that change.
And I do want you to believe that the courage it took for you to make this call, you can apply to the next step. Because this is a positive result. We're all respecting you. We all get you. None of us in this room have come into this life without wounds, and so there's nothing inherently troublesome about you except for you haven't had the help you've needed to undo those knots. Okay?
Okay.
Take a risk, Brian. We've got your back.
Yeah, let us know how it goes, okay? We're here for you. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
Okay, so we're calling Mariana.
Okay, hey, sounds Mariana.
Good. I'm excited.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. We're excited, too. Hi, Mariana. It's Emily. Thank you so much
Hi,
for
Emily,
participating.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I learned so much.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so glad. Well, you're going to learn a lot more right now, so I'm gonna hand it over to Dr. Jennifer Freed, and she's going to read your chart and tell you some things that are going to probably change your life.
Mariana. What?
Hi, Dr. Jennifer.
Hi, I'm so happy to hear from you. And what is a question that I can direct my answers to?
I guess my main question, well, my main problem right now is that, like, a few years ago, like maybe 2 years ago, I completely lost my sex drive, and I'm only like 28. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I have been on a journey and trying to figure out why or the cause behind it and everything.
Okay. Well, I'll go as deep as you can go on this, but here's what it looks like in your chart. I'm going to ask you, is there any sexual trauma in your history? You don't have to tell us what it was, but was there ever a time that you had a negative sexual experience?
I think I just had like really like bad relationship experiences in general. Mm-hmm. And right now that I'm in a good relationship, it's like went away, so it's like great. So it's really taken a toll on my current relationship, and mm-hmm. it's been pretty frustrating. And mm-hmm. I tried like ever since listening to the show, like learning more about masturbation and everything. Like mm-hmm. I tried doing that more, mm-hmm. but I feel very like not in my body, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
okay. Well, it sounds like astrologically speaking, you have an opportunity right now to really focus on coming back into your body on your own terms. There's mm-hmm. a great deal to learn this lifetime from your astrology chart about authority and boundaries and assertiveness. So even if you haven't had, quote, sexual trauma, it looks like you've had many incidences where you didn't say exactly what you wanted, and you were in response to other people. And so I agree with you that masturbation is the first way back, meaning you've got to make friends with yourself and find yourself desirable and luscious. And then from right. there, ask your partner to do certain things to you and not other things. Like, you have to go back to the beginning and not assume that you want what they want and that you want it when they want it. It's almost like you have to be in charge for a bit of time. How is that right. sounding to you, Mariana?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, it's just...
But it's also... Yeah, and also, mm-hmm. what is your shame about your body? It looks like you came in with kind of an ambivalence toward your own body. So what is it you're holding against your body? Besides the not,
I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just don't feel very attractive, I guess you could say. Or
yeah,
I don't feel like a light in myself, I guess.
Okay, what's blocking? Yeah. And all people listening to the show ask themselves this right now: what's mm-hmm. blocking an idea of yourself being a totally attractive human being? Like, what's in the way of that? I think. Go ahead. Yeah. No, you go.
I think it's probably just myself, to be honest.
I know,
just
but is it your size? Is it your weight? Is it your smell? Is it your class? You know, we all have our
right.
narratives. Which one is yours?
I think it would probably just be because I feel like I'm out of shape
yeah.
right now at this point.
Yeah.
I feel a little insecure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to tell you, I'm looking at Emily, who has like the best arms I've ever seen. And I said to her today, how the heck did you do this, like look like this? It takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
People forget right. that working out is work. And I believe, looking at your chart, the way back is you've got to take much better care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Because if I don't find myself sexy, I don't want to have sex.
Yeah.
Ew. So, but, Emily, go on this.
Yeah, no, I think that's so true. And I totally can. I mean, I wasn't always like this, Mara, and I wasn't always in shape. I go in and out of it. But it's for me when I am working out and I'm doing that for myself. That, and it's a habit. I get it. It's like life is busy and it's hard and you think you can never get into routine, or maybe you've tried it a million times, Mariana, and you're like, oh, I just hate it. If you decide that you're going to find, even if it's 10 minutes a day, that was something for me that helped me when I was like, I got to go to the gym for an hour. Even just saying, I'm going to walk for 10 minutes was a great way for me to start back after a while when I wasn't. And even that's how I started initially, is that just giving yourself permission to move your body is how you're going to get more in touch with it. Because maybe now you lay down to masturbate and you're like, oh God, there's my thighs, and then you start going off on a thing. But if you start really moving your body and the blood's flowing, we have to remember that working out and being healthy and exercise is a huge factor in having a satisfying sex life, because it's all about blood flow and also how we feel about ourselves. We feel better when we're moving and when we're, you know, just taking care of ourselves. So is that something that you think you could practice along with the masturbation?
Yeah, I think I have to be more dedicated, more determined.
Yeah.
Like you said, get busy and then I slack, or yeah, just don't do it for weeks. Yeah.
And one more thing I can tell you, looking at your chart, it's quite complex what cycle you're in, but it's called a very deep Saturn-Pluto cycle, and it's about utter transformation. So the encouragement I want to give you is it's hard work. So don't think, which is the mistake I made when I was younger, oh, I should be inspired to work out. No, you shouldn't. You should just go work out. So it's not about having energy on the front end. You're going to just reap incredible benefits on the back end. And it's going to take you, according to your chart, a year to become the model you that you want. So it's not a quick fix. And what I want you to do is in 1 year, I want you to text a picture of yourself to me and Emily, because I'm going to tell you something. You're a gorgeous woman. There's nothing about your chart that doesn't radiate beauty, but what happens when we forget to love ourselves and our bodies is we begin to distance from ourselves. And then our sexuality is ourselves. So, of course, you're distant from that. Go, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Mariana, you're going to do that. You know I'm here for you all the time. So if you want to call me with updates or you want to email, thank you, Mariana, for being brave. And I think this is...
Love your show.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, sweetie. Thanks for calling. Wow, that is really powerful, because it is so true. You could do the masturbation, you could go through the motions with your partner, but if you don't want to be with yourself, if you actually don't want to have sex with yourself, why would anyone else want to? And if we don't love our bodies, it's not going to happen. And I think all of us have our issues. I've had times where I'm not working out, I don't feel as sexy, but I know when I do it, and it is a process, and I fall off the wagon, but the more you're just steady with it, and you do it, and you're moving your body, you're going to start to feel it again.
Yeah, and also it's not about the weight or the shape. We all come in different shapes and sizes, and I love the big and the small and the whatever. It's what you're saying. It's the movement. It's the energy, the body flow, the oxygen. So I know some of the sexiest people on the planet, and it is not about how they look. Nope. It's about how they move and work the room with their radiance.
Exactly. And I'm sure that Mariana, if we could get her to get that confidence right now, she could go into the bedroom walking with that confidence just like anybody else. But what we're hearing in her voice is she actually does need to do that work.
Yeah.
I was actually at this lingerie I go to this thing called the Melrose Market. It's like this flea market, right? And there was individual artisans, and there was a woman who had a lingerie stand, and she said, women come in here, and there could be two women with the same exact body types. And one walks in, and it's like, oh, her head's down, and she's really, they look exactly the same, and she's insecure, and she doesn't feel great. And she's like, oh, I could never wear it. And another woman walks in, same exact body, and she's like, look at me, I'm going to wear all these things. And really, it's just a matter of our own, you know, of how we have that control over those thoughts and the way we carry ourselves. And that's how other people are going to react once we start loving ourselves. So it's just an interesting cycle. And for her, it sounds like she does need to start doing that movement work. Dancing, it could be dancing, anything. All right. Dylan. Hey, Dylan, it's Emily. Thanks so much for calling in, for being
hey,
brave.
Hey, Emily, thank you for taking my call.
Of course. We're excited. Oh. I'm going to pass you over here to the expert, Dr. Jennifer Fried.
Hey, Dylan, perfect. First of all, could you be any more adorable? I think your voice is already adorable. So that's a winning thing about your chart is people love to be around you. Your energy is contagious and gregarious, and you are a great friend. So that's a good start. What's your question?
Well, I guess, so I'm just coming up to, like, a year in my very first, like, serious relationship with my partner. So things are, like, really great in that, and I was just wondering, like, I've got, I find it hard sometimes to, like, ask what I want, so I don't know if that's, like, sign-related.
It is. Mm-hmm. We can talk about that, but is that, but is your, you haven't said a gender, but do you want to or leave it at partner?
He's a man.
Okay, excellent. I love the men on men thing. Okay, so Dylan, here's the deal. You have a sun in Leo and the Sag rising, so this means you're very charismatic, and I'm sure he's just crazy about you and you're having so much fun, and I'm so happy you've made a year because you really deserve to be loved so well. The problem comes in your emotional training, which is you have your moon in Virgo. And moon in Virgo people, at the most, at the best part of them, they want to be of service. They're very concerned about getting it right and doing it right and having people really feel like they've been served. So in the bedroom, this can get in the way with that kind of animal aggressive part that doesn't give a crap what the other person's experiencing, and you just go for your own pleasure. So you don't have a very selfish orientation towards sex. And, you know, but the thing is, tell me your partner's name, because sometimes I can get a hit about that person.
His name is Jacob.
Jacob?
Yeah.
Okay. So Jacob is totally into you asking for anything that you want, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he always says, like, that's what he's, like, that's where he gets, like, his pleasure from, is from, like, whatever I'm, really, like, into.
Exactly.
So the problem is you don't know how to ask for it, or you're not really sure what you want.
I think it's that part, like, the not really sure, like, what I want.
Okay, so
the
here's,
of finding
yes.
what he wants.
So you actually, in your chart, which is so exciting because you're kind of young, you have a chart of great experimentation sexually. So I don't think you need to know what you want. My assignment to you, I'm going to check with Emily, the expert, but I would actually have you try something different every week for, like, I don't know, 50 weeks. Like, every Wednesday night is try something new, because it will never be bad, but it will help right. you get out of your shell of, you know, honestly, what you want, Dylan, is to love somebody deeply, passionately, and forever turn them on. But you've got to be the yeah. one in this situation to have costume night, to have, like, forbidden fruit night, you know, whatever.
Role playing, trying yeah. different toys, trying different lubes, like, and then in a way, also not being hard on yourself that you're 20, 28, 27? You might not have had...
25.
25, right. Math. You're 25, so I used to beat myself up as well. It's like, it's okay that you don't know yet, right? Like, you've had less experience on the planet experiencing things sexually. So I love what Dr. Jennifer is saying here, is that, yeah, try some things out and make it a team effort with your partner and say, you know what? I've just decided, let's explore. Let's go to a sex toy store together. Let's go have sex out in nature. I mean, whatever appeals to you both. So then you don't feel like you're in it alone either. Take them along for this journey of exploration.
And it doesn't have to be great every time. I think that's a pressure that a lot of couples feel when they're experimenting. Like, this has to be a great experiment. No, the word is experiment. The point is, if you did 50 weeks of different experiments, you guys will have the best year of your life just by being courageous and adventurous. And I think, again, you are so adorable. Just take the risk. Yeah, take the risk.
I feel that.
Jacob's going to be like, yay, thanks for calling those ladies. I really think he will.
All right, Dylan?
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're so welcome. You got to let us know how it goes. Okay?
I'll definitely try that out.
I love it. Okay.
Thanks.
I feel like we got to get some feedback from everyone on the show, because I feel like this stuff is really helpful. You can hear it in their voice. Like, no one's protesting. No one's saying, well, wait, you're wrong. Like, because this is what you do.
Yeah.
It's science. You're not, like, making this. Not woo-woo. See? I think everyone's on board now. You get it. Well, it's funny because we suggest that a lot of us just crave variety, but then most relationships after a while are going to need it.
Yeah.
And so also the fact that he has this pressure on himself, like, I should know when he's 25 and hasn't been out there yet. So I think that just, it's kind of like a reassurance in reading his chart and being able to feel his partner that was
and
really
helpful. And how adorable. I can't get over how adorable Dylan was. It's like when you feel somebody's energy and you just want to hug him and kiss him and play with them. Yeah. He's like the puppy you want to roll around with. So I'm sure Jacob's going, whatever you want. Let's just be together.
And then
right?
he gets fearful that he doesn't know and afraid to ask. So we helped him. That was great.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're still reading your birth charts with Dr. Jen Fried. Hey, Molly, it's Emily. Thank you so much for participating.
Hey, thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Oh, my God. Well, this is going to be great. I'm telling you, you're in for a treat. So I'm just going to pass you along to Dr. Jennifer Fried.
Hey, Molly. Okay. What a privilege. Hi, what a privilege to read your chart, because you are a noble being. So tell me, what question can I help you with?
Well, I have done my best to try and interpret my chart on my own, and I have had so much trouble. I know very little, and I know that I kind of have a bowl shape, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you've been studying, girl. You're in advanced class. Yeah. Okay, you got a bowl, and...
And, I think I am, Capricorn rising, maybe?
Yes.
But I always, I feel kind of, since I am a cusp baby, I guess, I feel like I teeter between, Libra traits and Scorpio traits. So I prefer to say I'm a Scorpio because they're ruled by the sex organs.
Oh, baby, now we're getting into it. But what does this have to do with your sex and love life? Because that's what I can talk to you about. What do you want to know?
Specific question.
Yeah.
So my husband is a Taurus. And of course, I don't know what his chart looks like. But I want to know what... my chart looks like in conjunction with just his sign, I guess.
Well, Scorpio is opposite Taurus, so otherness attracts, whether it's women, men, or men and women. It's like the other is what really draws us in, because we can't learn from just being with ourselves. So you and your husband have created this contract to learn from what's different than you. But tell me, what about your sex and love life could we talk about? Let's get in there, little Scorpio. Yeah. I know you're hesitant, but what do you want to know?
Just what can I do to, I guess, help myself learn, I guess, more about what my strengths and weaknesses are, what Scorpios tend to... be like as far as lovers.
Okay. Well, Scorpio is ruled by Mars, as you know, so that's like an intense emphasis on deep, passionate love making in just terms of your sun sign. But when I'm looking at your whole chart and I see your moon is in Leo and you have that Capricorn rising, you know, the key to your sex life being really exciting is breaking rules. So you got to make some rules and break them in the bedroom. Like say, don't touch me there, and then have him touch you there. It's like for you to get a little bit transgressive and a little bit naughty is very helpful to loosen up this chart and give you a lot more pleasure. Because there is in that Capricorn, you have a lot of Capricorn, a little bit too much, what do you think of me? How do I look? How's it going? And that's a real buzzkill for sex. You want to get out of that. Like if I were to give you a sex fantasy, I'd have you dress up as a school principal and have them rip your clothes off. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
How does that feel? Okay. I hear you laughing here. I feel like that really spoke to you, Molly.
Yes. because that it sounds like me to T, actually. because I'm very... I guess, I don't want to say self-centered, but, I can't think of the word.
You like affirmations.
Self-conscious.
You like to feel good. You like to get the affirmation, the compliments. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Vain. That is what I'm thinking of. I am vain, which is awful. But I do, in bed. And I feel like whenever I am not in my head is when my husband and I have a better experience.
Right. And so to get out of your head would be to play a role play where you're the school principal and you're dressing up and you wear a sexy tight uniform, and then he comes in and he rips it, you know, something like that. When couples play together, like do the role playing or they do sensation play, the reason why it's so popular, or doing BDSM, is because you can't be in your head worrying about how you look and what you're thinking, because you're in a connection with your partner playing a game or doing some kind of dominant submission thing. So that's why it works. And so to get you out of your head, it sounds like this is the exact recipe you needed to hear.
It does. What do you suggest to, like, some of the best ways to get out of your head? Like,
to, well, I think Emily just said it, but I think you want to do things that are so kind of on the edge for you that your brain is offline. Because when you're doing risk-taking, positive risk-taking behavior, that's when you can't think that much, because you're kind of in the moment of excitement. So you have to find that edge for you and your husband. I'm telling you, it's about rule breaking. So whatever scenarios you can come up with, or blindfolded, or I don't know, because I'm not in your bedroom, but I'm telling you, Molly, you're smart. You're super smart. So you do the work. You did the work on your astrology chart, and you know a lot. But this is about not knowing a lot and just doing stuff.
Yeah.
And just feeling and going with what feels right.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah, going with what feels okay. Right, and trusting yourself and knowing that your husband loves you and he's with you. And in that moment during sex, he's in the bedroom with you. He loves you. Your body's fine. You're performing fine. And just if you could somehow rest in that knowledge, knowing that, like, so far it's been going well. You guys have been together for a while and it's okay, you know? And that might help you be like, just kind of remind yourself, like, I am loved. We are loved. We are connected. He's my teammate. He's my co-pilot here. He's not leaving me. You know what I mean? Like, if there's some kind of you need this affirmation for a reason. And so doing more positive affirmations around this and positive self-talk rather than negative self-talk would help you. And then, yeah, being in the moment during sex, if you're trying different things, that's really helpful. And for me also, and sometimes it's a practice. Like, it could take me 100 times during sex, you know, if I'm in a heady day, but I keep going back to what's happening in the moment. My hands on my partner's waist. I'm feeling his skin. I'm hearing my breath. That's what I'm hearing. I'm tasting a little bit of, you know, the dinner I just had. I'm smelling the candle. And so the more you can engage in all your senses, you literally are nowhere else but the present moment, because those are all the things that are happening. And then you're just instantly out of your head. And then going back to touch and going back to what you're feeling, you know, on your hands, in your body in that moment will be the most grounding and helpful for you.
We give you love, awesome. Molly.
Thanks,
go with
Molly.
That. Bring it.
You got it, girl. Keep us posted. Okay, so last but not least at all, Jamie.
Me.
My deputy here. Producer, I'm going to pass you over to Dr. Jennifer Fried, and she's going to do a reading on you.
Yes, I'm very excited about this.
And do you have a question?
I mean, it's just, I think I already know, but I just feel like I constantly have picked the wrong people to try to open up, because it's hard for me to do, and so I don't really know how to find the right people to open up to.
Well, you are on to yourself. So that's the best news, is you already know what your block is. So here's the deal with you, Jamie. Sun in Aries, you are incredibly powerful. You're going to go after it. You're going to get it in life. And there's a lot more to your chart that suggests ambition and movement forward. And, you know, you're going to make it all happen. The moon is what regulates our emotional relationships and how we are emotionally and what our fears are emotionally. And your moon sign is in Capricorn. And this means, not to get too deep,
that's fine,
but on an emotional level, you were raised in an environment that wasn't really highlighting your sensitivity, that wanted you to perform and do well and rewarded you for good job, well done. But when it came to vulnerability, nobody was really that interested. Like, they weren't going to go, oh, Jamie, let me sit with you while you cry and tell me how hard school was or anything like that. Okay, so when it comes to emotional relationships, and you're still quite young, you are still picking based on a certain emotional unavailability, because that's a little comfortable for you. Because frankly, if somebody came to you that was fully available at this point in your life with your chart the way it is, and there's a lot more to this, you'd probably push them away because you're afraid, this is the deep down fear thing, of emotional dependency. You don't want somebody to have it for you. You don't want to feel it towards somebody. So you're going to play a little bit of a cat and mice game for a while.
Okay.
And that's not bad because you're young, but I do want to say to you, the reason you're perfect to be on the show is you have what's called Mars oppose Uranus, Moon, and Neptune, which is, in brief, you are an outlier. You are going to make changes. You are going to electrify people. You're incredibly charismatic. You're going to think out of the box. You're going to behave out of the box. And you're incredibly devoted to the people you love. So when you take somebody in deep, they're in. But I think in love relationships, of course, it's much scarier because people can leave or people can disapprove of you or people can judge you. And I think you're going to take some time to work out that part, Jamie, where you feel like, I can approve of myself. I'm safe enough to open up to somebody no matter what their response would be. So one more thing on that, which is you're going through what's called Chiron to Venus. This is all advanced stuff, but Jamie wants the full deal. Chiron to Venus in cycle or transit means you are going through an examination of heartbreak or rejection in order to fall more in love with yourself. Because let's all think in this room, there's four women here. When we've been rejected, what does it really ask of us? We have to do our own inventory and say, even if they don't want me, am I willing to want me just as I am? It throws us back into this dark edge of self-doubt where we have to reconfirm ourselves. So you're in a period of reconfirming your value and who you are, your beauty, your sensuality. And I am convinced that when you come through this period with lots of support, and I hope crying, we didn't get to talk about that. But the only way to get to melt our heart is through tears. There's no other way. It's like saying to the big ice pack, oh, can you just somehow turn into a soft meadow? No, you have to weep in order to become that meadow, the tears. So, Jamie, you've got tears ahead. But when you get through the tears, you have an incredible partnership chart in the end.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Like, and you are going to be, here's my prediction on your show, and I hardly ever predict. When you find your partner, this person is going to be so hot, so incredibly erotically gorgeous. I think it's a foreigner. But the other piece of this is they will be steady and they will allow you to be outrageous. You're the outrageous one and you will come home to this steady influence where you feel like anything goes, but I'm safe.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Wow. No, I mean, a lot of that, obviously, as you've been the whole time, very spot on. And that's what I was thinking too, and I actually had this conversation with the person that I was somewhat seeing about how I felt that their energy was so strong and that my energy adapts to people's energies very well, that it kind of lessened mine, but not in a bad way necessarily. It felt like it made me a little bit more introspective and observant, which I'm not. Oh, like I do, but not so deeply. So that's interesting that you say that I'd have someone that's the steady person while I'd be outrageous. Because I felt like I actually
You made yourself smaller.
I made myself smaller.
Yeah, we can't diminish ourselves in order to be loved. That's something we have to really remember. Like if you start controlling your energy or minimizing your needs or anything that contracts us, that's not love, that's fear. And you are as big as they get energy and wild. And so in this quest to find the person, first you're going to have to really keep gathering all the pieces of yourself and say yes to them.
Okay.
And so you'll date and whatever. But if people don't want you, I actually think it's the universe saying, that was a good experiment. Move to the next one until you embrace all these parts of yourself. And basically, I see you with this person and they just say, I want all of it, and I can handle it.
Oh, wow. My God. I like, too. Felt that, like, so hard.
And one more little tidbit here, which is that your chart with Emily's chart is perfect because you can support and nurture her, but she is that steady presence in your life. Like, ultimately you want somebody as exciting as her but as stable as her in your life. That's
wow.
it.
Wow.
Yeah. I could see that. We are very, we are very similar in some ways, but it sounds like it's more like
we ebb and flow well together.
Yeah, we do. It's a divine connection.
But you
connection.
Can trust Emily, and if you broke down weeping with Emily.
She's the only person I ever have.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's what you want to look for in a partner, that yeah. kind of level of excitement. Oh, she's scary. The spiciest person ever, but she's like, I'm here. That's your template. Okay. Oh,
thank you so much.
Yeah, I saw that, Jamie. I saw that whole like childhood, maybe not as interested in your vulnerability, but then other people being emotional is hard for you too, because maybe some stuff with your, I know your mom listens to the podcast, but your mother.
She only listens to the serious show, so this
your
is good.
Mother. I saw your mother there.
You have to be careful with this, but by the way, according to the spiritual karma of astrology, and I don't know how this works, but I've seen it to be true, since your chart is from birth, who cast those parents anyway?
Right.
You know,
we're all
it's
here
like,
to learn lessons.
Yeah, so it's like this is your lesson plan before you even, like, walked. So if you have a mother that's less tender to your vulnerability, you called that in to learn some stuff about how to become your own best mothering figure.
What I love is what you said in the last show was that how it's a, not everyone gets that, or maybe it was during my reading, that it was a snapshot of the time you're born and that you don't often read babies' charts because, you know, you don't want to have to set this whole trajectory for their lifetime, but that whatever it is that you say to explain it, did we do that at the beginning of this? Because we can't assume
everyone
gets it.
Well, let me say, so basically yeah. when you're looking at a comprehensive birth chart, you're looking at the time somebody was born exactly, the place they were born, and their birth date, and then you get this incredible map of the human psyche and their cosmic DNA, and it doesn't forecast what people will become because we have free will, but it says there's certain patterns, lessons, and possibilities, and it's up to each of us to apply ourselves to those and become the richest, most expansive person we can be. The reason I don't read babies' charts, let them have a shot at it, people, before you start imprinting on them what their possibilities are.
Right, and I understand that. And the other thing which is interesting is that this whole, like, we are here to learn a lesson. Yeah. Can we talk about that for a minute? That, like, what we're going through. I always say we're here to work through our childhood. You know, eventually you have to look at what you've learned because those are the lessons. Like, your family, you have to get to a point where you forgive them and you realize this is my lesson. But can you say more about that?
Yeah, this is a tender topic because this isn't shaming or blaming people for the pain and victimization they've had. We've all gone through a lot, and some people a lot more than others, and you see this in charts, too. But the way I look at it is, every bit of our pain is an opportunity for growth. Every bit of our pleasure is an opportunity for growth. And if we stay in a narrative in which we're losers and victims, then that's the life we live. But the people I've known, and I've known people with great adversity, who think of everything as a potential gift. Life doesn't happen to us, it happens for us. When they think of it like that, people can make anything out of a pile of crap. You know, they can make magic out of it, but it's how you see it. Is this my landing pad or is this my launch pad? And the way I encourage people and see them is, use your story to become everything you want to be instead of staying in the past and regressing to what other people thought of you or acted toward you. That's the way I look at it.
So many of us lived in that victim, these things happen. We hear this even today from people like, this happened. But when you can really say, what can I learn from this message? What can I learn from this lesson? Which takes work, but that's really the way to go. Because what else are we going to do with it? Carry around our sad stories?
Yeah. And back to Jamie and her reading or back to any of our suffering, I need to weep and cry about my suffering. If I try to bottle it up or be stoic, I'm going to carry it with me in baggage all over my body and my psyche. But once I've grieved and had a real witness, like a loving witness, then it's time for me to make the pain count instead of make the pain define me. And that's what I'm really all about. And, you know, I've had tremendous pain in my life, but my joy is more resilient because of it.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Dr. Jennifer Fried. This was really a powerful show. We have to have you come back because so many people wanted to get a reading. So we can only do a few today. But where else can people find you? Let's just
They can go to drjenniferfree.com. And I do want to say to your listeners today that some of us are putting on an incredible luxury retreat in the island of Moustique off the French Grenadines. And if you want information, it's a 5-night retreat. Do email me because it's going to be very limited, but you might be the right person.
Okay. And they can find that at jenniferfreed.com. And then Instagram is at Dr. Jennifer Freed and Twitter at Dr. Jen Freed. And this is all in the show notes. Thank you so much for being here.
I love being with you all.
I love it. I know. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. Email me if you think we should be doing more shows like this or what else you love about the show or with your questions or what you'd like to hear more of. I love you all. Thank you for supporting the show. And thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Kristen, Heather, Michelle, Elisa, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.